Dr. Jonathan Groves is Associate Professor and Department Chair of Communications at Drury University. In his past life, he worked for 14 years as a professional journalist. He spent 2 years at the University of Missouri Columbia as a Reynolds Journalism Institute doctoral fellow, studying how the internet was changing the face of journalism. He devotes his time to exploring the new media and its impact on journalism. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Election polling has seen some pretty spectacular disasters recently in calling elections one way and then they turn out the other. Seems too, that you can find a poll to support whatever the theme of the day might be.
Right.
So can you, we're going to talk about polling. So first, can you briefly explain to us the process of election polling? How do they even do that process?
What they will do, the most important thing when it comes to polling is looking at how they've conducted the sample for how they're polling the given population. So one of the things that you'll want to look at is, did they talk to enough people? And also, did they select the people in a way that was accurate? So what's really difficult, you run into a lot of problems if you're doing online polls, because it's much harder to choose an accurate sample. It's much better, what your goal is in choosing a good sample is making sure that everyone in the population you want to look at has an equal opportunity to respond to the survey. And that's what makes a valid sample. So one of the things you want to look at is the sample valid?
Right. So there's online surveys and then there's also phone surveys, right?
We've all had
the phone ring to be a survey. But how has that been impacted with cell phone usage?
Well, some polling firms, one of the things you want to look at is the quality of the polling firm as well. Polling firms have been trying to deal with this issue, and some incorporate cell phones into their sample, and they make sure that a certain percentage of phones that they are connecting to are cell phones. Doing that kind of polling is much more expensive, which is why you want to pay attention to who's doing the polling. So major news organizations that do the polls usually do a pretty good job. You will find Gallup does good polls, the Pew Research Center. There are a number of polling firms that do pretty good and pretty good accurate polling, and you can check that out pretty easily online. What's better is, instead of picking out a single poll to choose from, what you want to do is aggregate your polls. So there are a variety of sites. One is called 538.com. One is realclearpolitics.com. And what they will do is they will take all of the polls and aggregate them to say, what are we looking at on the whole? So you want to be skeptical of people who pull out one poll and focus on the results of that one poll that makes them look good. You really want to focus on people who are looking at the overall trend.
Right.
That's what's most important. And looking at polls in aggregate over a period of time is really important.
You were with us a couple of months ago and we discussed fake news. Do polls and polling play any part in the effects of fake news, you think?
I think when you hear results of a poll, you have an obligation to go look at the poll itself, the original poll, the original results. Good polls are usually very transparent in that they show you the questionnaire, they explain the methodology to you. So if you can't find those when you're looking at a poll, I would be very skeptical of that kind of poll. So polls, for the most part, if they're conducted accurately, can be very valuable. And good pollsters typically will be willing to talk about the limitations of their polls. They don't look at them as, this poll is gospel and you should abide by everything this poll says. Most good researchers, they're pretty quick to say, here are the limitations, and let's put it in the context of all of the polls that we're looking at. Gallup does a daily tracking poll, because what they realize is that when you are analyzing this information, it's much more valuable when you do it as a rolling average rather than a snapshot.
Right.
The snapshot's not has value, but not as much value as when you look at it over a period of time. And the best research firms do it in that way.
So why should we care about polling?
There's a lot of argument about that. Is that inaccurate? Some people say maybe it's not very valuable. Public opinion polling is valuable, though, just to get a sense of where is the public? Where how are we doing? So right. What you end up having is political campaigns have often done them on their own anyway. This is just a way so that we can see we're interested in it. We want to know what people are thinking. We want to know where is the pulse of the country. So it does have some value. One of the things that I would caution is that it's easy to say, oh, the polls got it wrong in the election. They didn't necessarily get it wrong. They have what's called the margin of error. So as long as the results fall within that margin of error, anytime you have a really close poll where it's, you know, 51 to 49, if there is a 3.5% margin of error, either one of those candidates could win that election.
Right, right.
And the danger that you have is you now have some outlets that are using that data to make predictions. And so the predictions are what are problematic because the predictions are really based on past performance, and that's never you never know what's going to happen. So in this last election, one of the things you had so many different things that popped out that were unexpected. Sometimes what people will talk about is the black swan event, which is the thing you didn't expect. Right. It was that thing that pops out and that you can't explain based on past evidence. And that was what we ran into here. This was an election unlike any other election, and it was a perfect storm for what happened.
Right. You talked about 538. How is it? Do they look at a lot of different polls, correct?
Correct.
To pull from. Kind of explain how they do that.
What they will do is they will put a bunch of information together, a bunch of data together, and then they create a model to predict. So they can say, and they are making choices as researchers. So they look at that information and they say, historically, what have been the biggest influences on the outcomes of elections? So is it the economy? Is it how people feel about the different factors? Is it education? So you can look at all these different variables to predict an outcome.
Right.
And different models have different choices of what those variables are. So 538 has just put a bunch of variables into their model to say, this is why we think this person is likely to come out that way. And a lot of places are doing this now.
Yeah.
So the New York Times has the Upshot. They do this kind of work. I would just caution you that, again, you want to look for transparency. Will they explain to you how they did their model?
Right.
Do we know what variables are going into that to fashion that prediction? Because that's going to help
transparency us. Is important in a lot of things, aren't they?
It is. It's really key. That should be your sniff test.
Right.
If you go to a source and you say, how do you know this? Where did you get this from?
Right.
And they can't tell you, then I would be far more skeptical of what they're telling you.
As always, very interesting. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for the invitation back.
My guest has been Dr. Jonathan Groves, Associate Professor and Department Chair of Communications at Drury University. This and other programs of Making Democracy Work are available online at ksmu.org.